Good morning and welcome to the Garden Conversation. Today we are having another in our series of One Crop at a Time, and I am talking about tomatoes today with Kate.
My favorite subject, tomatoes.
As it is for a lot of people. I learned in doing the research for this that this is America's number one crop. It's the most desired garden crop. So, but I want to remind people that we are talking about growing tomatoes in the Upper Lynn Canal. So if you go online, you may find something very different. In fact, you will find something different on tomatoes because we're talking about growing it in a cold, wet climate in comparison to other places. You can stick a tomato seed in the ground and it'll grow, but not so much here. So, in fact, I would say that in my experience, it's the one thing that a lot of newbie gardeners in our community come up here, and they're all excited about gardening, and they put their tomatoes out that first year, and they're sadly disappointed when they get green tomatoes.
If they're lucky.
If they're lucky, that's right. Only some years you get green tomatoes. So, okay, so let's talk about what does work. We both have greenhouses, and so where do you grow your tomatoes?
Currently, I'm growing in a dome, but mm-hmm. I've grown them in all sorts of different structures over the years. I've had just small little hoop houses. Mm-hmm. I've had a little building I made out of some 2x4s, and I had a crawl inside, but they would grow in there. But you have to have some kind of structure, some way of keeping them warmer.
Mm-hmm.
I do know people grow them in their houses,
mm-hmm.
but they do not grow outdoors.
Yeah, that's been my... Until the summer of 2019, that really warm summer, I saw two people who were growing tomatoes and had ripe ones that were outside. And I went, oh, this is a weird year. Because
yeah.
it's not the normal thing. You really...
No, it must be a very protected place if they
It
had
was.
That.
It was next to a house.
Okay.
And it was that really hot year.
Okay, yeah.
So normally they do. They need the heat. So let's start with... About tomatoes, there's two kinds. There's many, many different kinds, but there's two categories. And one is a determinant and one is an indeterminate. And we grow different ones, or we have very different
views on this.
Views on it, that's right. Which is
tolerances.
Yeah, which is what I like to show on this garden conversation, that everybody can have their own things. So I grow mostly determinate ones because I want them to stay short and controlled, shorter and controlled. And the one thing that if you read about this is not my experience, that they do a flush of growing and then they're done. I have never had any of my determinate tomatoes stop before the frost stops them. So that's never been an issue for me. You grow mostly indeterminate.
I do.
And for what reason?
Indeterminates are the ones that get big and sprawly. Mm-hmm. They can be huge.
They vine.
They do. They mm-hmm. vine. They can be 6, even 8 feet tall. They're
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I grow them because those are the best tasting ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole reason I grow tomatoes.
Yep. And I think that that's true. I think that there's some determinants that are getting better. But I think that most people would agree that the indeterminants are more better tasting. So eventually we will get to varieties and we can share. We both, I'm sure, have our favorite varieties. So let's start with starting seeds. How do you start yours and when?
I start mine, very early March or even sometimes February, depending
oh, really?
On the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I start them in little 4-inch pots, mm-hmm. put them in a tray, put one in the dome covers, and I put them next to my fire where it's nice and warm.
Ah, uh-huh.
And they usually germinate within just a few days at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put them under lights.
Mm-hmm.
And they do quite well.
So you start in 4-inch pots and then they stay in that for a while?
Quite a while, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like to transplant more than I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard on the
plants.
Because
you're dealing with a lot. You sell them.
I do.
Them, so
I do sell them. So I have a lot of starts going.
Yeah.
And so the less I have to transplant, the happier mm-hmm. I am.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
it's easier on the plants as well. Mm-hmm. So I tend to start with larger pots.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And that one thing about tomatoes is they are one plant that you can transplant without a whole lot of, they don't mind being transplanted as
no,
much
really.
As some other plants
no.
do. So, but if you are going to plant them in small pots and they are getting bigger, what I'm saying is don't be afraid to up-pot them.
Oh, no, not at all. No, you need to, because they will keep growing. They need to.
And they don't like to have their roots really going around a pot or that sort of thing. So so then do you use lights?
I do.
For years?
I do. I have banks of light to put them under.
And what fans. About fans?
Yep. Yes, yep. Always fans. Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can afford it, if you have the situation, you are going to be rewarded. I grew tomatoes many years without having either one of those things. Your plants are stronger if the fan just blows. We're not talking about a power fan. We're talking about something just
Just keep the air moving over the leaves.
Yeah, and that makes a stronger stem. And it also I think it helps with damping off if you have damping
off. Oh, very much
problems.
So, because you need your soil drying out. Mm-hmm. You do need to water things regularly when there starts, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you need the soil drying out. Otherwise, you get that green algae growing over the top, and that's a sign that you have no ventilation happening.
And that you're watering too much, probably.
And that's when you probably get the tamping off thing happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, fans make all the difference. It's taken me a while to figure that one out. But.
Me too. Yeah. And that's why I think it's a good idea to, if you can set up a situation and just use a regular, you don't need any fancy fan. No, you don't.
The hardest part is finding a fan that's not too powerful, mm-hmm. actually.
And then you get to set it halfway across the room and then it's in the way and all of that.
Yeah.
And I set mine on a timer so I don't have to think about turning it on and off.
I do that as well. Yeah. Timers for the lights, timers for the fans. Yep. Just try to make all of it as easy as possible.
As easy as you can. Yep.
Yeah.
So then it's usually around, 8 weeks when that you plant yours out? Or how soon before do you plant? Well, if you're starting in March.
Yeah. I can get things into the dome usually about mid-April.
Oh, so you're planting earlier.
I am. Yep. Mm-hmm. Much earlier, yeah. Yep. I'll put a little heater out there because it's just the nights at that point. During the daytime, there's enough UV. It's getting plenty warm in there. And so just keeping it warm enough overnight because I need at least 50, 55 at night.
So 8 to 10 weeks, you would say?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is something that I also have seen. People get really excited in January, February, and they're going to start their plants. And you just can't plant tomatoes out. Unless you do, most people don't have a situation where they can do heating.
Either. Exactly.
And so they just get tall and leggy if you do it
They
too
really
early.
Do. It's actually, I think, hard on the plants it to is. Let them get too leggy like that. You don't do them any favors.
So it's better to plant in, I would say, March is
I would say,
normal.
Too. Yeah. It's only because I plant much earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little propane heater that's totally portable that I put in there. Mm-hmm. But
So then what about hardening off? Do you harden off your plants? What do you do?
They harden off by going into the dome.
Okay, so you can, that's a transitory place.
For a lot of the plants, yeah. A lot of the plants I sell that will actually be annuals, will be outdoors or that. They get that's their transition. They move out the dome because then it is like 50, 55 at night.
And it's not as bright. That's one thing that I've learned. I take mine out to my hoop house, and that is a good way to harden off because that plastic or the film, whatever you've got, that cuts enough light that it don't take your plants and put them directly outside. You will burn them. You will. Yeah. They're not happy.
No, they're not happy. Too big a difference in the temperature variation that time of year, but
and
then also
light.
The light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not doing them any favors. Yeah.
So then once you get them in the ground, tomatoes kind of like a neutral pH. So compost helps with that. We've already talked about ventilation in seedlings, but what about as they're growing, bigger plants?
I have fans throughout.
Constantly.
They need air moving.
A lot.
Yeah. But once again, that's growing in structures. You need to have the air moving or you're going to have mildew, mold problems happening. You have more problem with pests. Moving air solves all those problems.
And it is important to remember, people think that, oh, I'm going to solve all my problems with putting them in a put. Growing whatever in a greenhouse, but you are inviting or you have other issues, and ventilation is one of the main ones with growing in a structure. So tomatoes must have good ventilation. What about fertilizing? Do you do fertilizing?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. I put a tomato fertilizer on, one of those organic ones. Mm-hmm. But I also use a lot of eggshells, ground up eggshells put in.
That's for the blossom end rot, right?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Tomatoes need a lot of calcium.
Mm-hmm. And they tend to be kind of a heavy feeder.
They do.
And so I think giving them regular, I think compost or starting out with a good soil is important. But then feeding them a little bit throughout the whole summer gives you
You really need to. And it'll make a big difference on how many tomatoes you
get.
I've noticed that after I fertilize it, all of a sudden there'll be a lot more blooms coming on. Or it looks like the end of the season's coming. I'll give a little dash of fertilizer and all of a sudden, I have a whole new batch coming on. Mm-hmm. One last batch.
Yep. So rotation, what do you do about rotation? That's a problem in our place where we have to grow in greenhouses or structures.
Well, you only have so many beds. So the best I can hope for is I alternate every other year. I go back and forth. But when you think about it, you have to then think about where your peppers are planted or eggplant, because they're all from the same family, so they can't be in the same bed either. So
right.
Trying to figure out where to put them. And so I do have to keep extensive notes on where things are year to year to try to make sure I am rotating things around. But like I said, the best I can hope for is every other year.
So keeping records is a good idea. And, you know, I do know some people who have planted tomatoes in exactly the same spot every year. I one time had a structure that I was growing in, and I took all of, developed some disease problem, and I took all that soil out and I replaced it. So that's one thing you can do, but I think you don't really have to worry about it too much if you, unless you see disease. If you see your leaves doing strange things, developing diseases, be aware that those diseases get carried through year after year in that same soil. So hopefully you won't develop a problem, but and rotation helps with that. But be aware that could be what's going on if it keeps coming back. So so harvesting. Let's talk about harvesting. Do you bring your tomatoes in when they're completely red, or do you do what they call breaking, I think is the word, where you harvest them when they're still just starting to turn red?
I only do that at the very end of the season when I think it's going to get too cold. I'll bring them in. Otherwise, I wait till they're red.
You wait until they're red.
Yeah, they're totally ripe. But I also grow enough tomatoes that trying to keep up with them is more of an issue for me. And many times throughout the summer, I'll have a whole counter covered with tomatoes and just waiting to do something with them all.
Right. So
that's not really an issue for me, what I say.
One of the reasons that people may want to bring them in is because if you do have critter problems or mold problems or something like that, at the end of the season is when I find that I will bring them in just to protect them from getting moldy or something like that.
And just get those last few tomatoes.
But so the message of this is that if the tomato has started to turn red, it will turn red on the counter.
It will.
If they're green, if they're light green maybe, but dark green, they probably won't ever ripen. But you can bring them in once they've started to turn red. So now, saving seeds. You do not save seeds, right?
I do not.
Okay. I want to mention to folks that tomatoes are one thing. I don't do a lot of seed saving, not as much as I should, but tomatoes are one thing that I will because it's easy. You don't even have to not use the tomato. I use the tomato, but I take a few seeds out of the tomato and put it in a little dish with some water. Let it sit in your, I leave it sit on my windowsill for about 2 or 3 days. Put it in a little strainer, like a tea strainer or something, run water through it to get that gooey gelatinous stuff off. And I put it on a paper towel. Make sure you mark on the paper towel what your, what the type of tomato it is, and let them dry. And after they're dry, then put them, however you're going to save them, in an envelope or whatnot. And you can do that with non-hybrid tomatoes. If you have a hybrid, no, that won't work. And so I've now gotten to where I only grow a few hybrids, but most of them I save seeds that way. So that's, tomatoes are one thing that's pretty easy to do that. So I just wanted to let people know that, and you grow enough tomatoes every year that you can just buy a whole pack of seeds.
I buy new seeds. I'll have a few extra every year, but I always hold on to those. And those are my backup in case I end up with bad seeds the next year, because that does happen periodically. You get bad seeds of something or other.
It does.
And frequently, by the time you find out you have bad seeds, it's too late to buy new seeds. And that's one of the reasons I guess I don't save my seeds. Well, in part because two of the varieties I grow are hybrid, but also because I totally count on my tomato crop. And I don't want to risk it. And so I like to start with fresh seed for that every year.
And I feel the same way, but I say I don't want to risk mine, so I'm going to save my own seeds. So there you go. Different perspectives on the same thing. So we only have a few little minutes left. What do you do to preserve your tomatoes? You put them in the freezer? Do you make sauce out of them? There's lots of different
Everything.
Do you dry?
I dry them. I put them in the freezer whole, some of them, pour them into a bag. I cook them up. I make lots of salsa. I make soups. I process a lot of tomatoes.
Yeah, so do I. And drying is a newfound. My mother never dried them, so I did not discover that until about 4 or 5 years ago. And but dried tomatoes are so intense.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. Oh, I love doing those with pasta.
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
They're so good.
Yeah.
And you talked about one of my favorite ways of doing tomatoes when I'm really busy in the summer and I don't have time. Throw them in the freezer. Don't have to do a thing. Take the whole tomato, put them in a bag in the freezer, and don't expect them to be like a fresh tomato, but they will have the flavor of a fresh tomato.
Oh, yeah.
But their texture is going to be soft. So,
But they still have that flavor. And just throwing them into a soup or a stew or something just adds such a great flavor.
Yeah, it does. So, yeah, tomatoes, I think, are one of my favorite crops, too. But well, they're a challenge to grow here.
They are, but they're so versatile. Mm-hmm. They're fresh, they're dried, they're frozen. Mm-hmm. You make them into soups or stews, you cook with them.
Yeah.
There's so many things you can do with them. They're the base of so many different dishes.
I think the key here in growing tomatoes is you have to get your system set up. Once you have your system set up to and in a structure of some sort, then tomatoes are fairly easy to grow.
They really are.
But it's getting there. Figuring it out. I've had various incarnations. One, I had in a hoop house, I had 300 tomatoes on one plant 1 year, and one ripened.
Wow.
And so...
And that's where variety comes in.
And that's where
we're
going to
talk about that. Yep, that's very important thing, is finding the right variety.
Finding the right...
And for what you grow, how you're growing.
Sometimes the variety that you grow may be different than what I need or what I want. So,
or the amount of light your neighbor has is more than you have, and so they can grow something you can't. Mm-hmm. And so trying to find who grows in similar conditions that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so talk to your neighbors or talk to a similar, and don't be afraid to go look at different people's greenhouses and say, oh, I like this or I don't like this or this wouldn't fit in my situation. So, okay, we're out of time. So happy tomato growing. It's something that you got to do a little trial and error, I think, to grow tomatoes. It's not like Minnesota where you stick a seed in the ground and it just grows.
This is not Minnesota.
It's not Minnesota. All right. Happy gardening, everyone, or happy reading gardening books might be what you're doing now. So thanks so much, Kate.